Hello. Sorry, Ed, I haven't finished. just start off with a quick prayer. Father God, I just thank you. I thank you for the worship band, God. I thank you that we can just sing our praises to you. I pray that you would open our hearts to your word, Father. I pray that I would speak the words that you want me to, and that I would help interpret them for those who listen, Lord. In your name, amen. Hello, everybody. Good morning. What I was asked to speak about this morning was lessons from physiology. And I was like, right, okay. I failed to tell them that actually I never did my GCSE in biology, so it's a minor problem. So I thought, right, what I'll do, I'll go to the library, I'll have a look, see what there is in the library, I'll read up on it, and I'll give you some great facts. So the first book that I looked at was, looking along the shelf, Why Men Die First. Right, I won't be reading that one. So anatomy focuses on structure and how something's put together. Physiology is the study of how those different structures work together to make the body function as a whole. So just as the human body's parts need to work together to achieve things, so as members of the church body, we need to work together to achieve things. So in the human body, you have processes, muscle contraction, sense of smell, sight, how we breathe. In the church, just coming here today, somebody has put the chairs out for you. Somebody is serving the coffee at the back. We work together as a body to achieve things. Since Paul wrote this passage, there's been a huge amount that has been learned about the human body. But it's still just one body. It doesn't take away from anything that he's written. It is still one body, but just made up of so many more parts than maybe Paul knew about. So I wanted to kind of take apart the text, just have a look at certain bits and how they kind of potentially speak to us as individuals and as a church as well. So if we start off, verses 14 to 17, it's essentially saying, you know, we're part of the same body, whichever part we are, and we can't all be the same. And we can't be all the parts ourselves either. This is something that my wife struggles with sometimes, is she wants to do everything for everybody. She wants to be everything for everybody. We can't be that. We're part of a body. We are not the body ourselves. And it's quite important to know that. It's finding out where our part in that body of Christ is. It's not trying to be the head, the arm, the leg, the foot, everything all at once ourselves. God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Verse 18 says, just that, just as he wanted them to be. So throughout my life, there have kind of been numerous occasions when I've wanted to be somebody else. I don't know about yourselves. I wanted to be my older brother. He was allowed to go out when he was younger. I really desperately wanted to go out, but I wasn't allowed. I wanted to be my younger brother, because he was hip and cool, and I wasn't. He was the one that got all the girls really fancied him, not me. More recently, you know, there's certain people I see and I think, wow, wouldn't it be great to be that person? Anybody watch The Avengers? I'd love to be Thor. That would be awesome. But I'm not. I am me, and God made me as me. And what I want you to understand is that God made you who you are. You know, he didn't make you wrong. He made us perfectly. He didn't forget what to make us, what we were designed to be. We sometimes refer to the verse in Jeremiah. So Jeremiah 29, verse 11, God says, he knows the plans he has for us. A plan to give us a future and a hope, to prosper us and not harm us. How many of us really follow God's plan? And how many of us follow our own because we want to be that person, not because we live who we actually are? I am who God wants me to be. You are who God wants you to be. Psalm 139, verse 14 says, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, God may grant us other gifts to fulfill others' plans, but it does not make who we are now a mistake. Okay, I really, really want people to understand that. Want people to know that they are who God made them, and that is, there is nothing wrong with you. There is nothing wrong with the way God made you. You are made perfectly. Verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. We need one another. As individuals, we need companionship. And more than that, sometimes people think that they are not needed. And that is not true. That is a lie. You are needed. Everyone in this church is needed. We all have our part to play. We are all a part of this body. We all have different parts to play, but that does not make them any less. You know, we have pods in this church. So pods, for those who don't know, are when individuals get together, so in groups of two or three, to support one another. That, I think, is exactly what Paul is talking about here. You know, supporting one another, helping one another, learning to lean on one another. Partnerships are important in the church just as they are in the human body. So if you think about it, the way that your human body works, if you want to lift something up, so if I want to lift something up, I want to lift up this cup. How many muscles am I using here? So my bicep here contracts, but it's not just that. Your tricep has to relax as well. You can't just do it with this muscle. There are other muscles involved in that. Also, I'm using my hand to pick it up. Just that simple act has involved numerous muscles in my body. We need to understand that to function properly as a church, we don't function individually. We can't do things on our own. We must do it together. The more you do, the more you achieve, the more parts get involved in that. If I want to run a race, I use my legs, I use my arms, I use my core. So much of my body I use just to do simple things. How often as a church do we try to do things in our own strength? How often do we try to do things and we go off in a different direction? How many directions are we going in as a church? The more amazing things we want to achieve, the more parts of the body need to engage in that. The other part I just read was that some parts that seem the weakest are actually the most important. So I thought, right, okay, here's a good fact. So what's the smallest muscle in the human body? Does anyone know? Toe? No. The smallest muscle is called the stapedius. And it's in your middle ear. It's about 1 millimeter in size. Okay, it's connected to a bone in your ear, and it contracts to pull back the bone, and it protects your inner ear from loud noises. It also contracts to keep your own voice from sounding too loud in your head. So if you're sounding too loud in your head, maybe it's not working properly. But the point is, you know, this is just a tiny, tiny part of our body. And yet it does a really important function. The smallest organ in the body is the, I'm sorry if I've pronounced this wrong, the pineal gland near the center of the brain. So it produces a hormone that affects how we sleep, wake up, and react to seasonal changes. That's a huge thing for such a tiny part of your body. And that, you know, Paul wouldn't have known about all these parts of the body, but it still rings true today, you know. The elements of your body, the smallest parts, can sometimes have such a huge effect. You may think that you are not important in this church. That is not true. You are hugely important. Everyone, every part of your body has a part to play. Everyone in this church has a part to play. When we all play together and we all do things right, that is when we are most effective as a church. I just think that's stunning. Looking at those facts about the body is just amazing. So next time you think you're not important or what you're doing is not important, think again. Think again if you think somebody else is not important either, because they are. Everybody is important in this church. Verses 24 to 25. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. So as a society, we kind of have a habit of and praising those who are in a position of influence or prominence. You get awards and prizes often conferred to those who are in the public eye. Everyone sees them. Wow, isn't this person amazing? Celebrities, successful businessmen, they get honours, titles. Great sports people get great trophies. Fantastic. Famous celebrities get invited to parties. They get given free gifts. I think somebody told me somewhere that there was a Hollywood party and everyone got invited and they got given a goodie bag. And the goodie bag contained something ridiculous like £6,000 worth of free things to promote. And I just thought, £6,000? What about everyone else? But as a society, we praise those people. We lift them up. We lift them up more. And we put down those in society who we don't see so much, who aren't doing, you know, who we think they're not as important. What about those other people? The research assistant who stays up late into the night to help the physicist with his project. The secretary who lets the successful businessman know what he should be doing every day. The speechwriter who writes that famous speech for the politician, who gets remembered throughout history. The physio who keeps the sportsman in health. The cleaners who keep our offices from looking like children's bedrooms. These people are just as important to the functioning of our society. And Christ was always in favor of turning societies on its head. He spent time with those that nobody else wanted to. He spent time with the tax collectors, the prostitutes, the down and outs. We need to have that same attitude. Look at one another as a part of the same body. And Paul says that in doing so, we achieve greater harmony in the church. See each other as equals. Get harmony in the church. That is just an amazing picture. Verse 25 talks about if one part suffers, all suffer. If one part is honored, all parts are glad. So many years ago, I was in Italy. I went skiing. I thought, oh, this be good fun. I'd love to ski. It'd be so much fun. I went out with some friends and they said, do you want to come skiing? I was like, yes. Right, we're going to go off and do the slalom. And I was like, not doing that. So I thought, right, okay, I go. When I go skiing, I go straight down. So if I want to go faster, my skis go parallel. If I want to turn, slow down, I fall over. That's how it works for me. So that was how I did it the first time. The second time I went, some friends saw me skiing who were ski instructors and they said, you're an absolute liability. We're going to teach you how to ski. So they did, and I was very grateful for them. But during my third outing with them, I had an accident. So somebody hit me. I landed on my shoulder, and it smashed my collarbone into four pieces. I could not believe how much of a difference that made to my body, just that one bone. It is a simple bone here. And breaking that into pieces, I couldn't do anything. Walking hurt because you just got the weight of it here and it's not supporting. This supports your arm here. I couldn't run. I couldn't exercise. Even sitting down, I was in pain. Everything that I did was impacted by this one bone in my body. And I think it's just incredible to think how much of an impact each part of our body has on us. I know there's been numerous times in this church where events have caused kind of unimaginable grief on individuals. And as a church, I do believe that we've really felt that grief. You know, that we have hurt as a church. And that is as it should be. As a church, we should be suffering with those who suffer. We should be talking to one another, engaging with one another. When we have difficulties, when we go through difficult times, speak to one another. Let the church support you. If you break your leg, Do you jump around? Do you hop around everywhere? No. You go to the hospital, you get a pair of crutches. By getting crutches, you're taking the weight on your arms. When you break your leg, your arms take the strain for you. You don't just hop around and go, oh, I'll be fine. I'll manage it. So, well, Ed might, but most people don't. Most people use crutches and they take the weight on their arms. As a church, we should be supporting one another. If one member of the body hurts, we should be taking some of that strain ourselves and helping each other. And just as we hurt together, we should share another one another's joy. It was really lovely this morning to hear people's testimonies. I think we should do that, you know, more. It builds us all up. It helps us to know when people go through amazing times. Just as when people hurt, we should be sharing those times of joy with one another. Sometimes it's really great to hear that somebody has had a fantastic week, that somebody's had, you know, a new nephew or something. It's great to share in those moments of joy. And as a church and as one body, we suffer together and we have joy together. What binds us together? I was kind of reading through this passage and I was thinking, well, you know, this is great. We work as a body. But what binds us together? Our body is interconnected just as the church body is. So the human body is made up of huge numbers of veins, capillaries, carry the blood around our body. It carries it to every single part of the body. In the church, I believe that's the Holy Spirit. If Paul were talking today, I believe he would be saying, it is the Holy Spirit that should be going through every single part of this body, of this church, should be extending to every part. We should be filled with the Spirit, all of us. If I've got no blood going to my hand, it's not going to work properly. It needs to be going to every part of my body. That is what enables us to do anything. And without it, we can do nothing. God's plan is for us to work perfectly together as one body directed by the Spirit. Verse 28 talks about the gifts. So it talks about apostles, prophets, teachers, those who perform miracles, gifts of healing, those who can help others, those who get others to work together, and those who speak in tongues. Now, this is just some of the gifts. There are also gifts mentioned in Romans 12, verses 3 to 8, and Ephesians 4, 7 to 13. So this isn't a complete list here. But it says, if we go back earlier in the chapter, verse 7, it says, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So everyone is given the gift of the Spirit. If you have accepted Christ into your life, and you have the Spirit of God in your life, you have gifts. There is nobody here who does not have a gift. You may think, actually, you know what? I can see this guy, he's speaking. I can see this guy. When everyone listens to them, they go, wow, that's amazing. Me, no, I can't see that. Wrong. You all have a gift. God has given us all gifts because we all have the Spirit in us. If you don't know what your gifts are, speak to people. That's why we have pods, encourage one another, discover God's gifts within us. If you don't know, come to the front, receive prayer. Ask God to show you what your gifts are. It talks about the gifts here, and some of them you kind of think, you know, apostles, prophets, teachers. Ooh, I don't know if I have any of those. Those who can help others. I'm pretty sure everyone has that gift. Those who get others to work together. That is hugely important. Having an administrator here at the church who just manages everything behind the scenes is amazing. Chris would probably tell you how difficult it would be without that help. So, but not everyone has every gift. Just as I talked about the fact that we are a part of the body, the fact that we are a part of the body means that we don't get all the gifts. We get some of the gifts as God gives them to us. So you are not supposed to be all of these things, as I was saying before. You are not supposed to be the one who performs all the miracles, heals everybody, prophesies, teaches. We all have our part to play. It also says that you should desire the most helpful gifts. Now, just to kind of give you a bit of context to this, the church at Corinth held the supernatural gifts in quite high regard, in particular speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues, I mean, Chris has spoken about it before. It is a wonderful gift of God. But in helping to build the body of the church, I would suggest it's not one of the most helpful gifts. There are other gifts in here, helping others, getting others to work together, that actually build the church up as a body, that strengthen us as a body. And I think this is why Paul used the body as a way of describing the church, just to show that actually you are not here as individuals. We all have our individual gifts, and I do this for God. We do it within the body. We do it to build one another up, to strengthen one another up, to work together, to use all those gifts together to achieve even greater things. There's, I can't remember where it's from, but about the phrase about the sum of, you talk about football teams where you have amazing players and they're great, but they don't work together as a team. Well, the body is even more so. It's not about individual parts. It's about working together as one body. So one of the other things I thought about was how do we as a church develop and grow? So I've spoken about kind of working together. Also, it talks about that our gifts are for the common good. But I wanted to talk briefly about kind of developing. So for those who don't know, there's kind of two different processes. So muscle hypertrophy, okay? It's essentially working your muscles to grow and strengthen them. So when you go to the gym, for those who do, you push some weights, you maybe go for a cycle. You work hard to develop those muscles. So you might think, I really want to, beef my chest up a bit. I'm going to do some bench pressing. Yeah, I'm going to get big. You might want to kind of strengthen. You might want to be running a marathon. So you need to do lots of running. You need to strengthen the muscles. You need to train them. You need to work hard to do that. There's different ways and different types of exercises you can follow to develop your muscles. But ultimately what happens in that process is the muscle is stressed. The muscle is stressed and it is stretched. It goes through pain. You cannot be an amazing athlete without going through a huge amount of pain. You read any of the biographies of the amazing sports people, the lengths they go to achieve what they have done are incredible. And it is painful. And as a church, we go through processes that are painful, that are difficult. But if we don't challenge ourselves as a church, we won't grow. We won't get stronger. If we go, I have these gifts, that's great, thank you for that. They're not going to grow. They're not going to get stronger. They're not going to get used. We have to use our gifts in the same way as we use our muscles, in the same way as our bones. There's something just exactly the same for bones, so Wolf's Law. So human bones grow and strengthen under pressure. If it's not put to use, it weakens. Your bones weaken. They adapt to the pressure, whether there's increased pressure or there's a lack of it. As a church, if we do not exercise our gifts, if we do not use them together, we will grow weak. That is why you see churches disappearing in this country sometimes, because people are not using their gifts. People are not exercising them. We as a church need to exercise our gifts. There's also various other things you can take away. We can look at viruses, how viruses affect the body. So it affects all parts of the body, not just one. There are some things that happen that are beyond our control. But how we react to it as a body is how we deal with those difficulties. We need to react to it together. If we need to rest as a church and come to a place of rest, then we should do it as a body, as a church. We should support one another, strengthen one another, speak to one another. Work in harmony. You know, the body is an amazing creation and it is capable of such amazing feats. Think what we could accomplish as a church if we use all the gifts the Spirit has given us as one body to achieve a common aim. I wanted to read a few facts out for you just to kind of underline the amazing nature of the human body. So human fingers are so sensitive that if your fingers were the size of Earth, you could feel the difference between a house and a car. The human eye is so sensitive that if Earth were flat, you could spot a candle flickering at night from up to 30 miles away. When you blush, the lining of your stomach blushes too. Inside your tummy button are thousands of bacteria that form an ecosystem the size of an entire rainforest. That's quite scary. Our muscles are actually incredibly more powerful than they appear to be, so human strength is limited to protect our tendons and muscles from harming themselves. This limitation can be removed during an adrenaline rush, during which some people have lifted boulders or even cars off themselves. A full head of human hair, sorry Chris, is strong enough to support 12 tons. In 30 minutes, the human body gives off enough heat to bring a gallon of water to the boil. Human bone is as strong as granite. A block of bone the size of a matchbox could support 9 tons of weight. If the human brain were a computer, it could perform 38,000 trillion operations per second. For every pound of fat or muscle gained, your body creates 7 miles of new blood vessels. Your body produces 25 million new cells each second. Every 13 seconds, you produce more cells than there are people in the United States. And we produce differently structured tears depending on the reason why we're crying. When put under the microscope, crying over grief, hope, or onions all produced a unique tear. That is the human body. That is the amazing nature. Every single part of that body, there is so much we don't understand. And it works together to achieve these things. To run the 100 meters in under 10 seconds. To swim the channel. To run a marathon. As a church, we need to be looking at what we can achieve. We can achieve amazing things, but we have to work as a body. I'm going to close there. Father God, I just thank you for your church. I thank you for the gift of your Spirit, Father. I pray that those here who don't know what gifts they have, I pray you would reveal that to them, Lord. I pray they would talk to others to understand what those gifts are, Father. I pray they would know that they do have gifts. I pray for those who don't know you yet, perhaps, who haven't felt your Spirit, I pray that they would come to know you and that they would welcome you in, Father. That they would become a part of the body of your church. I thank you that you have designed us perfectly, Father. That we are so complicated and yet so wondrously made. And you want your church to function as a body, Father. A perfect body. As the bride for Christ. I pray that we would just listen to you for a couple of minutes. Just hear what you have to say to us.